Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Dove Ministries of Love, a production of Dove Ministries. Join Apostle Diane as she shares wisdom from the Word of God about topics that we are faced with in our lives every day. Listen with an open heart and spirit as you can receive impartation and understanding. We are taking prayer requests and your questions live at 1-347-857-4133. Let the anointing of God lift your burdens and destroy yokes of bondage in your life. You will never be the same. Our website is www.dove-ministries.com.
Well, good morning or good afternoon. I don't know where you're listening from today, but I just want to welcome you to the program today, Dove Ministries of Love. And praise God that you have joined me today. And I've been praying for you and for what the Lord wants me to share with you today. And I know that it is going to help you in your journey, in your walk. And praise God for just what He is doing in your lives. And it's just an awesome, amazing thing to see God at work and to see the progress that we make in this journey as we move forward with Him and as we continue in that place of obedience. And I'm going to be talking about obedience in just a little bit and just talking about how when we press into that place of obedience, and, you know, sometimes we can just get tired of hearing about obedience, but faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And we must press into that place to where we are totally walking in faith, and we walk in faith when we walk in obedience. Amen. Well, praise God. Well, I do want to invite you, if you are in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, or if you're even in another state, this Sunday, coming Sunday, February the 3rd, is the Prophetic Healing Gathering at Church of His Glory. And Church of His Glory is a place where my husband and I, we co-pastor together. And these meetings were specifically designed and for the gift of God in my life, for the apostolic and the prophetic. And sometimes I have guests that come in and speak. Sometimes I have guest musicians that come in and play. And this month, or this coming month in February, a dear friend of mine, she's just a precious, precious young woman of God. Her name is Joyce Spencer, and she plays the saxophone, she plays the flute, she plays the keyboard, she sings. She's just a very anointed woman of God. And she is going to be joining me on this Sunday night and is going to minister in music for us. And so it is anointed, but then I'm going to be ministering and sharing the Word of God. And I'm just so, as they say, I am stoked. I am pumped up about sharing with you the things that God has been revealing to me about this year, about the body of Christ, and just the direction that He is taking us. And so if you can make it out, please do so. You can go to the church's website, which is www.churchofhisglory.org. If you've been to the website before and you haven't been to it in a while, you're going to be blessed. I'm Casey. I know you will be just as blessed as others have been, and is anointed, and He's just done a wonderful job on it. And I just thank God for godly children and anointed children, too, because that is exactly what my husband and I have been blessed with. And children are our heritage, and I just believe that that we should continually pursue imparting into their lives. And I still call my children my babies, and they're 32 and 35, and our spiritual daughter is 41. But they're still, you know, they're still my babies. And I just believe that we must impart to this next generation. And so God has gifted us, and he has given us these beautiful gifts called children. And we just need to be there for them and be there to listen and just to leave that legacy to them of Christ. And Christ in us, working in us and through us and imparting into their lives. And so please check out the website, get the information, go to the page about the Prophetic Healing Gathering. And I'm just in awe at what God did last year. And I shared this with our congregation. He moved so powerfully. We had a few people last year that were healed, totally healed of cancer. A few people that were not even in the services, just someone stepping forward to stand in proxy for them. And, you know, there's no distance in the spirit. And so thank God for what he did. And then one man had his cartilage restored in his knee. A few people, different forms of arthritis. There were, you know, healings. A lot of broken hearts healed. Finances were healed, if you want to say they were healed. I mean, God moved supernaturally in the area of finances and off from seed that people had sown. And so we just have a lot of miracles that happened last year. And probably the greatest thing is just the touch, seeing the touch of God's hand upon the lives of people and seeing them seeing their lives changed and a place of hunger in their lives, seeing that hunger stirred up in people's lives just because of his presence and the touch of his hand. And, wow, I could just go on. The glory of God is not just, you know, it's tangible. The glory of God is not just something that I talk about. It's something that is manifested continually in this place. And I thank God for his glory. And, you know, we don't use smoke machines, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. But the glory cloud is visible so often in this place. People see it continually, of course, as I do. And, you know, when you see the things of the supernatural, there's you know, the enemy cannot take from you, or no person can take from you what God ends up manifesting by the power of his Holy Spirit. And, you know, we want heaven to be manifested in this earth. But the problem is that there's too much, what I call, too much control, too much of trying to understand what that would be with carnal minds, instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to just manifest what he chooses and you know, what is the will of our Father, what is the will of God to be seen. And when you taste heaven and earth, when you get a glimpse, when you get a little taste of what is there here in this earth, it changes your life, because if you're born again, then you are a part of a everlasting kingdom. And that kingdom is about the supernatural power of God. It is about abundant life. And so sounds like I'm diving into this, but I'm just going to be keep being obedient and being led by the Holy Spirit in this. And so, you know, so the prophetic healing gatherings are, they're just amazing. They're, no two are ever the same, and of course they're not. And, you know, God just moves in just raw power. And also, it's time after time It's like we see, you know, the Lord will give me the word to speak, and then there's a manifestation of that word. And that's what, you know, Paul, that's what the great apostle Paul, you know, that's what he shared and what he spoke. He said, you know, this, the words that I speak, you know, they're not really per se enticing to man, and they're not of man's wisdom, but he said they're of God's wisdom, and so when we speak out of God's wisdom and that word is going forth, there's a power that begins to manifest, and that power is what goes in, and it is what changes the heart of man. And so praise God for the word of God that is life and spirit. But if we're just always hearing the word in church and we're never seeing a manifestation of it, then something's not right. Because God's word, it will manifest. And, you know, Paul, he said, I came to you, you know, in great trembling and in weakness. He said, you know, I didn't go to the, as some have said, the seminary, and learn how to speak eloquently or with human philosophy or wisdom. He said, I resolved to know nothing or to be acquainted with nothing, and except to be conscious of Christ, of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And so he said, you know, that his language and his message, it was not set forth in persuasive words of wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Holy Spirit and the power of the Spirit and the power of God. And he said that was operating in him and stirring the minds of the hearers. And so he said, because his power is manifested while I'm speaking, he said, he does this so that your faith doesn't rest in the wisdom of man, but that it rests in the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, you know, we've got to really focus on the Lord and cry out for him and get to that place to where we are all walking in the power of the Spirit. There's something about the power of the Holy Spirit in a person's life, not just on a person's life, okay? Because the gifts and callings come upon you, but the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, okay? And so I'm talking about the Holy Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit's power operating in you. It's when we go to the cross. It's when we crucify this flesh. It's when we deny ourselves and we take up our cross. It's when we take on the life of Christ because we've chosen his character. We've chosen his response. We've chosen how he responds. And so when we begin to see that manifestation of his power in our lives, well, you know, because we have died to self, and we begin to walk in the Spirit, supernatural things begin to happen. The supernatural power of the Holy Spirit, you know, the power of God, begins to manifest in our lives. And once again, when you connect with the power of the Holy Spirit, it touches the core of your being, the core of who you are, which is spirit. And so praise God. Praise God for the Holy Ghost. I just, hallelujah, thank you, Lord. I just feel the presence of the Lord right now, and that God is already moving on some of you where you are. and the Holy Spirit is touching you right now, working inside of you. See, when we open up and let the Holy Spirit work in us, then we're able to work out our salvation. Praise God. And so, you know, this is a time, it's like it's interesting how at the first of the year, it's like, you know, we start making these vows, making these decrees and declaring and prophesying, and we're just so, you know, the newness of the day, the newness of the year. It's a new year, 2013. But you know what? God wants you to have that same enthusiasm every single month of the year and even every day of the year. Why? Because every day is a new day. When you got up this morning, praise God, it's a new day. I can start all over again. Where I fell short yesterday, I can press in today, and everything is brand new. His mercies are new towards you and I today. And so today I can begin. And so we should have that same enthusiasm. And the truth is when you're moving forward, there's always an anticipation. It's when you stop doing what you're hearing, that's when you end up getting stuck, and that's when you stop moving forward. And so you have to keep moving forward. You have to keep choosing to do what is right. And I'm telling you, every day is a blessing. Every day is exciting. Every day it's like, wow, what's going to happen today? What is God going to do today? Lord, what do you want me to do today? And so praise God for the Holy Ghost. And so so in these prophetic healing gatherings, there's always a supernatural manifestation of God every single time. I thank God for the power of the Holy Spirit, because we cannot do anything without His Spirit. You know, I love the book of Psalms. I love it. David, I can just relate to David so many times in and throughout the word in the Psalms. It's just it's so just real. But I love Psalms 51, and I'm sure some of you can relate to this. But Psalms 51 says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your steadfast love." I love that right there. His steadfast love. Praise God. His love is steadfast. It is never ending. It is never changing. There's nothing that you or I can do or not do that's going to change His love for us. And He wants us to really grasp that and to walk in it and to believe it. And so His love is steadfast. In other words, it is constant. His love is constant in our lives. I mean, there's not a moment that goes by in our life that His love is not there. It's constant and it's firm. And so, and that's why He tells you in His word and me to set our face like a flint and to be steadfast. Why? Because He is steadfast. He's constant. God wants you to be constant in what you do, not wishy-washy, not, well, one day I feel like doing this, so I'm going to do it, and then the next day I don't do it, so I'm not. And then one day I'm real firm and I've got the power working in me, and then the next day, it's, you know, we're just not firm in what we're saying because we've been influenced by the people that we're around, or we've been influenced by the circumstance that we're in. And so he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to the multitude of your tender mercy and loving kindness, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly and repeatedly from my iniquity and guilt, and cleanse me and make me wholly pure from my sin. And in the Amplified is W-H-O-L-L-Y. Because salvation is, yes, it's about deliverance and healing and forgiveness and freedom and so forth, but it is ultimately about being whole. It's about wholeness. It's about completeness in Him. And so, you know, salvation, the whole package, it releases and it manifests in your life a place of wholeness. Praise God for that. And so then he says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and guilt, and cleanse me and make me wholly pure from my sin. For I am conscious of my transgressions, and I acknowledge them. My sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done that which is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and faultless in your judgment. Now, I want to stop right there. David was no different, or I should say you and I are no different than what David was. He was conscious of his sin. It was ever before him. And so he cried out, and I know there's some of you today that are listening, or whenever you're listening to the program, because the word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your conscience of your sin and where you've been and where you've fallen short. And you know what? When you ask God to forgive you, you have to teach yourself and you have to learn, and the Holy Spirit will help you. But God forgets it. So when you bring it up again, He's like, what are you talking about? You know, he's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And we have to understand that we position ourselves and we actually cause ourselves to, you know, to deal with things and even to be messed with and tormented in our minds. It's, you know, what I call unnecessary battle. And we don't have to go there. And so a long time ago, and I was just talking with someone here recently, and they're moving forward in their life and in their relationship, as many, many of you are, and many of us are. We're making that choice to move forward, to not be held back by those things that have taken us captive, and especially those things that have happened in the area of relationships. But I shared with this person, and I've shared this with other people too, and that is you cannot do anything on your own. Okay, now we know that. And the problem is that we fail to ask the Holy Spirit for His help. Holy Spirit is your helper. He is our best friend. He says, I will teach you all things. He said, I'll teach you. Now, sometimes He chooses to teach you through man, but it's still, if you're not looking at the man and your focus is on Jesus, then that's exactly who you're going to be receiving it from. It's from Jesus, because, the Lord, He does speak through people. He uses His prophets and His apostles, His evangelists, His pastors, His teachers. He uses the fivefold ministry to equip you. And so you have to get beyond, and I have to get beyond, everyone has to get beyond the package, if you will, the package in which you're receiving the word. And you have to get your focus once again on Jesus and know that it's from His word. And so I had to ask the Lord finally, you know, I had to ask Him, I had to say, Father, help me to forget like you do. And so, and that's just a mind blower. You know, when you've been hurt by people, come on now. People hurt people, and hurt people hurt people. And more of our struggles and our issues in relationship is from other people opposed to the devil. You know, we try to blame the devil for a lot of things, and the truth is, again, is that it's a lot of our issues are with what is in us, and with people, it's just like offenses. They come, offenses come, and they reveal what's in your heart. It's not ever about what the other person said or did. And we want it to be, because somehow that justifies our response when we're responding and not in a godly way, you see. But God wants us to, to forgive people and to see them through the eyes of mercy. Amen. He wants us to see them through the eyes of mercy, and he wants us to forgive them and to love them and to act as if what they did never happened. And, you know, we're just like, oh, my goodness, how in the world can I do that? Well, there's nothing in the world that can help you to do that. But the Holy Spirit will help you to do that, to where you forget something. And so I've watched people, you know, and people have asked me, and it's like, okay, how can you treat that person so nice? How can you just act like nothing has, you know, nothing is has happened? And it's just like, oh, my goodness. How could you prophesy to them? You know, how can you prophesy that awesome word when that person, you know, when they hurt you like what they did? And you know what? The devil is a liar, because I am not looking at that person anymore. And I don't have to look at them because I have forgiven them. And whatever they said or whatever they did is under the blood of Jesus. And so I thank the Lord for that. I thank God that he gives me the ability to forgive and to forget. And so why shouldn't we, as his people, as his sons and daughters, why shouldn't we be able to forget what people do? And sometimes people will come to me, other people, and they'll say, well, remember when da-da-da-da-da-da, and I'm like, no, you know. And then they're looking at me like, really, you know, you don't, and I'm like, remember, you know, they're like, remember when you did, and I'm like, no. I don't, because I choose not to remember. And that's so hard for most people to, you know, to understand. But why would we want to remember our sins, much less anyone else's sins? And so it is possible when you choose to walk in the love of God. You know, when you choose to and make your mind up, you know, it's like, okay, God, you are so faithful. God, you are faithful to me. You are faithful. And you know what? And he will help you. He will help you to get through what you need to get through, so that you don't have the memory of what someone has done. And so, and it's so freeing. It is just so freeing. It's like, praise God. I mean, praise God for his faithfulness. And so, you know, so David, he struggled with that. But in his place of weakness, he said, against you and you only have I sinned and done that which is evil in your sight. And then he goes on and it says, behold, I was brought forth in a state of iniquity, and my mother was sinful who conceived me, and I too am sinful. Behold, you desire truth in the inner being. Make me therefore, hallelujah, he says, make me therefore. You know what? That just needs to be our prayer. Make me this year, Lord. Make me therefore to know wisdom in my inmost heart. He says, you desire truth in my inner being. And that's the key to the victory. Praise God for the victory. Praise God for that victory. But it's because of the truth that is in my inner being. You know, our outward body is dying every day. Our outward man is perishing. But our inward man, when we're receiving that word and we're receiving that truth, it is being strengthened. And wisdom is manifesting in our hearts. And then he said, purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean, and wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He says, wash me with hyssop. And praise God, today we've been washed and purified by the blood of Jesus. Hyssop was what was at that time, you know, in David's day, that was what was used. And ceremonially, you know, he was made clean. And he says, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me white as snow? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Praise God. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord for the blood of Jesus. Praise God. He is so, so faithful. Praise God that he makes the way for us. Hallelujah. And so then he goes on and he says, make me to hear joy and gladness and be satisfied, and let the bones which you have broken rejoice. And so not everything is from the enemy. You know, the Lord opposes the proud, and so we don't want to be proud. We don't want to handle situations or deal with our circumstances in life with what we think is the best thing. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, we want to, we want to do it God's way. And so, you know, David was just so, he was just so open in his, with his heart and crying out. And I love this. I love the Word of God. I love that we can get into the Word of God and we can read about those that even under the Old Covenant that did not even have the power of the Holy Spirit in them. Wow! What a blessing! And so living under this new covenant is such a much better way. And we're so blessed. We are just so blessed by the Lord. Amen. And so, okay, so then he goes on. Oh, and he says, it made me to hear joy and gladness and to be satisfied. And you know what? We just have to make our mind up. We just have to make our mind up that, you know what? God is faithful. God is faithful. And he will make us to hear joy and gladness and be satisfied. Because you know what? The Word of God tells us, let me get over here right quick so I can read this to you, and it will just bless you. The joy of the Lord, okay, in John chapter 15, Jesus said, if you live in me and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts, whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. And when you bear produce, when you bear much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. And he says, I have loved you as the Father has loved me. So abide in my love. Continue in his love with me. And so Jesus wants you, he wants you to join in. Just picture yourself taking your arms, and you know, maybe sometimes you've done this in a setting, whether it's been at school, whether it's been at church, Sunday school, or wherever it's been, and you've linked arms, and not just hands, but you've linked arms. I remember one time last year where our son was preaching, and he had us to join, to link arms with each other. There's something about linking arms with each other opposed to linking hands, but it just was a real powerful suggestion of action that showed unity. And so Jesus is saying, continue in his love with me. You know, I'm in this with you. Jesus, like I'm walking in this with you. I am there for you and by the power of my Holy Spirit. And then he said, if you continue in my commandments, that means if you continue to obey his instructions, not, remember, as I started out earlier, not just one day like, okay, this is easy, I can do it, but on the days when it's not easy and you do it. And he said, if you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. So when we keep his commandments, we're going to abide in his love. And then look, you may not have your word open. I told you John chapter 15. But this is the next scripture. This is where I'm getting to. He says, I have told you these things. What? What are the things that he has told us? Well, he said, to dwell in me, and I'll dwell in you. And he says, you're the branch, I'm the vine. And then he says, if you live in me, if my words remain in you, then they'll continue to live in your heart. You can ask whatever you want, and I'm going to do it. Easy. And when you bear fruit, he says, my Father's honored. He says, I've loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love if you keep my commandments. And he said, just as I have obeyed. And he says, my love is going to live on in you forever. So these are the things. He said, I've told you these things that my joy, his joy, Jesus, the joy, his joy, he says, so that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness, that it may be full of measure, full measure and complete and overflowing. And then we read back here where David, he's saying, make me to hear joy and gladness and be satisfied. But under the new covenant, Jesus has said, if you do these things right here, he said, then my joy is going to remain in you. It's my joy and delight is going to be in you. and your joy is going to be full. Wow. Hoo-wee. And so all of us, those are simple instructions. And so we have to take authority over our soul, which is what? Our mind, will, and emotions. And so as we do that, and as we keep that place of in our hearts sacred, you know, towards Him, that word, David said, I hide your word in my heart. Psalms 119. I hide your word in my heart so that I might not sin against thee. Wow. And so here we've got Jesus is saying, okay, let my words abide in you, and my words will remain in you. And so when his word is abiding in us, and remaining in us, guess what? You're not gonna be praying what I call amiss. Okay? You're not gonna be praying amiss. You are going to be praying in accordance to his will. Do you see you're gonna why? Because his words are abiding in you. And you're abiding in him. And so there's no reason for you to pray amiss, you know, to pray in accordance to what you feel or what you think. But also, he said, your joy is going to be full. It's going to be complete and overflowing. Hallelujah. I love it. Love the word of God because it is our very life and spirit. And then it goes on to say, he says, hide your face from my sins and blot out my guilt and iniquities. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right, preserving, and steadfast spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. And then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted and return to you. Wow. Praise God. And so his cry was, Lord, create a clean heart in me. I remember a song we used to sing, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me. And I don't know the rest of it, but David was saying, create in me a clean heart. He says, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. And so David recognized the Spirit of God, but he was not baptized with the Holy Ghost and fire like what we are able to be today. And that is why we can live in the Spirit and we can walk in the Spirit. But look at what David did, even though, again, we know that he failed. You know, several times he failed pretty miserably. But the thing about it is, okay, yes, he lusted after Bathsheba. He committed adultery. He had his wife killed. But he didn't try to blame anyone. He didn't say, well, Lord, you know, Bathsheba, she had to choose to take a bath, you know, out there, right there in front of me, and where I could just see everything. He didn't try to blame that on her. He said, Lord, I have sinned against you. And this is what we're reading here in Psalms 51, too. He says, Lord, I have sinned against you and you alone. And so part of being able to move forward in this season or any season of your life is recognizing the issues at hand in your life, and you know what you deal with. You know the things that you, what I say, you play around with. It's like, you know, yes, I need to change that, you know, probably tomorrow, you know, and you get comfortable because you tolerate things that you know are not right. And so why do we do that? Because it's not the Spirit of God in us. It's our flesh that is fighting and warring against our spirit and saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. And so David recognized, he recognized that place, and so he wrote this whole psalm and saying, Lord, wash me with the hyssop and I'll be clean. And because that is what they used at that particular time. But today, all you and I have to do is say, Lord, forgive me. I repent. Lord, I choose to turn around from this weakness. And Lord God, I know that your strength is made perfect in my weakness. And so I surrender all to you, Lord God. I surrender this area of my life that I know is not producing good fruit. And so, you know, David, he recognized, again, he didn't try to blame anybody. He didn't point the finger at Bathsheba. And, you know, he admitted, I did this and this was wrong. I see that, Lord. I know I shouldn't have done that. I know I shouldn't have said that. I know I shouldn't have spoken that way to so-and-so. And so God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And, you know, when you humble yourself, you feel weak. Guess what? That's exactly how you're supposed to feel, is weak. Weakness is not a sign of weakness. Weakness is a state of being where you recognize that you need God. And so if you don't acknowledge the weakness in your life, you'll never be able to intercept what Christ has done for you so that you don't walk in that place of weakness. You'll never see his strength being made perfect in you. It's just not going to happen. And so here David, you know, he's saying, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right, persevering, and steadfast spirit within me. In other words, David was saying, you know, Lord, I messed up here, but help me to be constant in my relationship. Help me to be firm. Remember what I shared with you earlier, that steadfast, the very, very first scripture that we read when David cried out and said, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. In other words, he was saying, according to your constant love, according to your firm love. See, God wants us to recognize that his love is constant. He doesn't want you to back away from him when you see where you've fallen short and then try to justify why you did what you did that you know wasn't right. He doesn't want you to justify that. The blood of Jesus is what justifies mm-hmm. you. We are justified in and through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, we can go to him. We can enter boldly into his throne room. And, you know, I acknowledge continually, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Every time I pray with people, you know, I'm saying, Lord, thank you for the blood of Jesus, Father God. Thank you that we can enter boldly. I can enter boldly into your throne room right now. And, you know, one time I even had a person who I was praying for who actually stopped me whenever I said that. After I said, Lord, thank you. I said, Father God, thank you for the blood of Jesus. And because of the blood of Jesus, I can enter boldly into your throne room right now. And I had a person to actually stop me and tell me that, said, wait. And I'm like, really? this person is stopping me right in the middle of praying for, they came to me for prayer, but yet they're stopping me and told me that that was religious and, you know, you don't need to do that. And I looked at this person and I said, you know what? I will forever be grateful and acknowledge the blood of Jesus that gives me access into the throne room of God. And I'm telling you what, hoo-wee, because the gratefulness, see, and heaven, just being thankful, that thanksgiving in my heart, the thankfulness that we have and the gratefulness that we have, it blesses Abba Father. It blesses him. It is such a blessing to him because we are acknowledging what he has made available. It was his plan to give us his only begotten son. Praise God for Jesus Christ, his begotten son. And I'm going to talk about sonship in just a little bit. And I'm working towards that. I'm heading towards that. But my heart was so broken because I realized that there's so many that do not understand that we must give him thanks and we must live with a grateful heart. If it were not for his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, that came and was obedient to the point of death so that you and I could know the Father, that we can't know the Father except through Jesus Christ. And because of what Jesus Christ did, God's only begotten Son, and that gruesome price that he paid on the cross, that he was marred beyond visage, he was unrecognizable, you couldn't even recognize him because of how he was beaten and how he was whipped and the crown of thorns and so forth, he shed his blood for the remission of sins. We are redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. And so I will always thank him. I will continually give thanks unto the Lord for what he has done. And, you know, even though each week whenever I share with you, it's on different things. The title, even though it's Dove Ministries of Love, every segment is called Thanksgiving and Prayer. Why? Because Thanksgiving and Prayer is where you get fulfilled. There's a fulfillment in your life when you live in a place of thanksgiving and when you are constant in the place of prayer. Remember, Paul said to pray without ceasing. And, you know, that's the problem. And please don't write me any hate letters or emails or whatever. But the truth is that we have not prayed enough. We do not pray effectively. We don't pray effectual fervent prayers. And, you know, and I shared last week on the effectual fervent prayer of man. And, you know, and that's a very powerful thing to pray effectual fervent prayers because they are what avails much. They're, you know, anyway, I don't want to go there. I want to stay in the flow where I'm at with David and what I'm sharing with you. And so he says, renew a right, persevering, and steadfast spirit within me. But see, we can live with a persevering spirit. We can live with a right heart, with a right spirit, a steadfast spirit, when we choose to walk in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit is simply walking in the Word of God. We must walk in the Word of God. John said, or in the book of John, Jesus said, my words, they are life and spirit. They are life and spirit. Life and spirit. So the Word of God is your very life and spirit. And he said, cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Wow, that is the cry of my heart, Lord. Take not your presence and your Holy Spirit from me. We cannot walk this journey without Holy Spirit, without his presence. And what we have to realize, you know, David, he wanted to be aware of the presence of God. But when those times of sin came, and this is what sin does, it doesn't separate God from us. It separates us from God. And how it separates us from him is because we become so sin-focused. You know, we're so focused on what we've done wrong. We're sin-conscious that we're not aware of his presence. And it's like if you're focused on your sin, if you're focused on your shortcomings, then it's going to be pretty hard for you to even be aware of, much less to focus on his presence. And so I try to help people and teach people, don't be sin conscious. Focus on Jesus. Be God conscious. Focus on the kingdom of God. Recognize your weaknesses and your shortcomings, where you sin, your iniquities, just like what David did. Don't run from them, because you know what? They're going to follow you. Whatever you don't deal with, it's a lot of people. I remember years and years ago, I was sharing a situation with someone, and, you know, where I had fallen short with the Lord, and that it was such a relief to, you know, even though it was painful, some of it, to remember, you know, some areas, to remember something that I had to remember so that I could deal with it. And I remember this woman of God, she looked at me as we were walking down the corridors of the church, and she said, "Oh, well, Diane, the things in the past, I just sweep them under the rug," she said, "and I just move on." And you know what? The moment she said that, my heart, it just dropped, because you can't sweep things under the rug and expect them to disappear. And in the natural, if you swept dirt under a rug, pretty soon what seemed like nothing is going to start forming and shaping and forming into a mountain, into a hill. It's going to be obvious. And then pretty soon you're not going to be able to walk very good on that rug, because it's going to be all bumpy because you've swept it under the rug. Well, spiritually speaking, when you just act like, well, I'm just going to forget that, you know, that's the past, and I'm just going to forget it. But if it's something that has altered your thinking, if it's something that has altered your actions, and when I say altered them, has steered you wrongly or has caused you to respond wrongly in your life, then guess what? You need to deal with that, because it's affecting your relationship with the Lord. And there's a lot of times there's hidden shame and hidden guilt. And we're trying to figure out, man, why do I feel shameful? Why do I feel guilty about this? Well, because you made the choice to not choose it. And, you know, you made the choice to not choose to deal with it. And you made that choice to, you know, to just not acknowledge it. And so, you know, it's really something there that's in your memory bank. But because of what happened, it's like you've been acting the way that you've been acting and responding the way that you've been responding because of that. But you swept it under the rug. And you know what? David, he didn't just say, oh, you know,
I'm just going to sweep that under the rug. You know, I just committed adultery with Bathsheba, but I'm going to sweep it under the rug. Well, I just had her husband killed, but I'm just going to sweep that under the rug. No, he didn't do that. He said, Lord, I've sinned against you and you alone. He said, I have sinned. And so here he's crying out and he's saying, Lord, restore to me the joy of your salvation. He's got the joy of your salvation. And so as I was reading in the book of John earlier, in John chapter 15, he said, remember Jesus said, I've told you these things that my joy may be in you, that my joy would remain in you, but that your joy would be complete and of full measure and overflowing. Hallelujah. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Glory to God. And then David said, because of this, he said, then I'll teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted and returned to you. Hallelujah. Okay, now watch this. I mean, this is powerful. This is powerful because, you know, because David, he recognized, okay, because I have cried out to God. You know, I have asked him to cleanse me and to let me hear joy and gladness and be satisfied, and let the bones that you've broken rejoice. And, you know, he's cried out to the Lord, and it's just such a major blessing what the Lord did, because he turned right around, and David turned right around. He didn't get under shame and guilt. He said, Lord, now, he says, I'll go teach transgressors your ways. He said, I'll go, and he said, I'll teach sinners. I'll teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted. Wow. So he didn't stay under any condemnation or under any guilt. He chose to just go on out there and make a difference. Go on out there and help someone else. And so he said, I'm going to teach those who are doing wrong. You know, that's what transgressing is. It's you either you break a law or you do something wrong or you go beyond what you're supposed to. And he says, but I'm going to go teach them, and they're going to be, and because of that, because what you've done in me and how I can teach and share with them, they're going to be converted and they're going to return to you. Praise God. And then he said, deliver me from blood guiltiness and death, O God, the God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of your righteousness, your rightness, and your justice. And so, you know, that's exactly what the Lord did. He delivered him. And he said, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you delight not in sacrifice, or else would I give it. You find no pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, broken with sorrow for sin and humbly through penitent. Such, O God, you will not despise. And so God wants a heart that has been broken and contrite, a heart that is separated unto him. And he says, oh, God, you will not despise me if I just live in this way, in recognizing that what I have done, Lord God, recognizing that I have messed up, but, God, you are there for me, and you will help me. And you know what? Abba is there for you, and he will help you through the power of his Holy Spirit. And you will know the Father because of Jesus. Jesus said, if you will keep my words, he said, then I will come and the Father,
and we will make our abode in you. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then he said, do good in your good pleasure to Zion, and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in the sacrifices of righteousness, justice, and right, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering, and then bullocks will be offered up on your altar. And of course, praise God that, you know, that's not the way we operate today, because we don't bring bullocks and rams and goats and so forth, because Jesus paid that price. He was our absolutely our high priest. Amen. Now, now I want to go into the book of Hebrews, and we'll just bring it on over here. And I want to talk to you about the high priest of God. In verse 5 of Hebrews, it says, so too Christ, the Messiah, did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed and exalted by him who said, you are my son, today I have begotten you. And as he says also in another place, you are a priest appointed forever after the order with the rank of Melchizedek. And so the key here is seeing that as we walk in the Spirit, what does the Bible say? As many of these who are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. So in this word that we're reading, where it says that Christ too, the Messiah, did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed and exalted by him who said, and who said, by Father God, you are my son, today I have begotten you. So his place as a high priest, it wasn't based upon, quote unquote, the priesthood, but it was based upon sonship. And so we are called to be priests and kings. And so you become that priest through your sonship. Verse 8 says, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And his completed experience making him perfectly equipped, he became the author and source of eternal salvation to all those who need and obey him. And so what he was saying is, what the Word of God is saying, through his obedience, he became the author and the finisher of our faith, of that salvation, for all those who need and obey him. And so the reward of living in the Spirit, the reward of walking in the Spirit, is such a blessing and such a honor, because we get to take on the power of God Almighty. But we must learn to live with a heart that is persevering, a heart that is sold out totally to him. And I just want to encourage you today that God is with you and that God is for you. And I just want you to know that that he so desires for you to live the abundant life. He so desires for you to walk in the fullness of the demonstration of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Spirit is so faithful. He is just so, so, so faithful. And I just give God all the glory and all the honor and all the praise today. And I pray today that something you've heard today will
stick with you. It'll stay with you. You'll chew on it. You'll digest it. And it will become the life of Christ in you. And just know that you were born and you were destined to do great and mighty exploits. And this is the year, my friend. This is the year of your breakthrough. This is the year of your deliverance. You shall see, and your eyes will be opened up. Faith will arise. And so let me just pray for you before I end the program today. Father God, I just thank you today for every listener. And Father God, I thank you that your promises are yes and amen. And Father God, I just lift up every person that is listening today or whenever they're listening to this program. And Father God, thank you that you're just so faithful. And Lord God, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Father God, we don't have to go find hyssop and do a ceremony to be washed and to be made clean, but we are clean and we are washed with the blood of Jesus. And we just cry out, Father God, for the power that's in the blood of Jesus today to wash us, to cleanse us, to make us whole, to make each and every person white as snow. Father God, I just thank you that you'll create a clean heart, a right spirit, that you'll restore the joy of salvation to those who have lost that joy. Father God, I pray that you would quicken them by your Holy Spirit, Lord God, and help them, Father God, to help them to, as they step out and as they choose to deal with those issues, those things that are seem to just be lingering, they've tolerated them, they've said, oh, tomorrow, tomorrow. Father God, just give your people, just give them that little nudge, just that what you do, Father, that stirring up, that quickening in their spirit, Father God, that they can do all things through Christ Jesus, who strengthens them. And Father God, I pray that today would be the day that you would help them to prosper in every area of their life, Lord God, that they would rise up, Father God, and that they would see that, Lord God, that they are precious in your sight. Lord God, that you love them and that, Father God, your purpose and your plans are just so amazing. They're so great because, Father, you said that you would do above and beyond what we could imagine or think according to the power that is in us. So, Father God, I pray that power would arise within your people, Lord God. And Father God, your sons and daughters, because they're abiding in you. Your words, they're abiding in their hearts, what you have spoken, and they're abiding, Lord God, in those words, and they're dwelling in you. They're dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. Lord God, I thank you that they will just see above and beyond, Lord God, that your power is increasing in their life on a daily basis. Father God, that they're seeing the manifestation of your word more and more and more. And Father God, I just thank you that this year will be the best year ever, Lord God, that things are changing because they're seeing to it, Father God, that the change takes place. And Father God, I just thank you. I just love you and adore you. And Father God, I pray that you would bless my brothers and sisters. And Father, be with that one who is struggling right now. Lord God, just help them to move forward, Lord God, and to go on ahead and just that decision that they've been going back and forth. Father, you said that there were multitudes in the valley of decision. Father, I pray that today that your sons and daughters, Father God, that they would choose, that they would make the right choice, and that the decision that they need to make would become plain in their ears. It would become plain to them exactly what they are supposed to do. Now, Father God, bless each and every person, and I just give you all the glory and honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, praise God. I just love you with the love of the Lord, and the program is being cut short, a little bit short today. Just know that you are loved. Join me again next week on February the 6th.
will be back. And I'm just so grateful to God for your life. And I know that you are living in the best of the best times. And so praise God that we are in the kingdom for such a time as this. Well, again, check out www.churchofhisglory.org and also go to www.dove-ministries.com. If you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area this weekend, 6 o'clock is the prophetic healing gathering at Church of His Glory. I love you with the love of the Lord, and I look forward to sharing again with you next week. Be so very blessed. Bye-bye.